Welcome to Kingdom Talk, the podcast where we talk all about things kingdom. I'm your host, Mark Banyard, and I'll be interviewing a variety of people who, through their lives and ministries, have been committed to advancing the kingdom of God. Church planters, church leaders, pioneers of missions and ministries, both at home as well as abroad. So let's go straight to today's episode of Kingdom Talk. It is December 31st, 2023, and I'm in my home office recording the last episode of Kingdom Talk for this year. As an end-of-year wrap-up, I put together a variety of excerpts from the conversations I had with my guests. I appreciated that each one brought their own particular, unique understanding and experience of the things we discussed. My first guest on Kingdom Talk in 2023 was Pete Mahoney. I asked Pete to talk about the prophetic, how he experienced it in his life, his biblical understanding, and as well as how the prophetic operates today. What is the prophetic? Not necessarily a hard definition, but, you know, how do we understand it?
You know, I'm from a very conservative background, so I didn't grow up with the prophetic. I didn't grow up with people speaking words of knowledge to people for encouragement and edification. And when I encountered that for the first time in college, it just blew my mind and it opened up my world in God in a whole different way. And it helped me experience the love of God in a different way. Not that I didn't experience before. I absolutely did in salvation and my understanding of God up to that point. But when I encountered the prophetic ministry, it was like Jesus reaching over and speaking to me.
The voice of God.
Yeah, like the reality of God now. That's what the prophetic is. And so it's bringing the Bible alive, like in church history right now, not contradicting the Word of God, never contradicting the Word of God, but making it alive for us today and showing us, hey, go down this road now, like in real time, because this is the way that God wants to grow you, or this is what he has for your family. And we need that. If anyone's like me, I just see it as mercy, like God, thank you so much that you still speak, that you're not silent, that this is actually a conversation that we're having, you know. And prayer is not just what me speaking, but that God is actually going to respond if I would take the time to listen. You and I were just talking about this. It's like oftentimes we either don't take the time to listen, and I make a joke about myself that God often speaks to me through dreams because I'm just too dull during the day. I'm doing so much, or I'm focused on things. And when I'm finally able to quiet myself because I'm dead asleep, then God will whisper to me in the night. And mostly for me, it's a lot of times it's dreams. That's the prophetic for me. It's like right before waking up, I'll hear a word from the Lord. And it's different for every person. It's different of seasons of life. It's different how God speaks. And he'll test us in that. Like if we get comfortable in one area, he'll say, let's do some cross training. You know, you've kind of gotten used to this way. And we start to define God by the way that he's spoken to us in the past. Are there prophetic voices out there who are speaking to the future? Can God speak about the future? Yes, obviously he can. He has throughout Scripture. Does God speak about national issues? Yes, he can. He has throughout Scripture. We have an Old Testament view of prophecy when we're in the New Testament now. Doesn't mean that God isn't going to speak in the ways that he spoke to Old Testament prophets, but there are no national prophets in the same way that there was for Israel as we have today. Today, we have prophecies that are tested by other prophets, that are tested by other Christians to weigh them out. There was nothing like that in the Old Testament. So it's not just a thus saith the Lord. It's okay, you can say that, but then it's to be tested. It's to be weighed where it wasn't before. So it's a different type of thing. And I think sometimes in charismatic circles, we make it out like we have Old Testament prophets. We do not have Old Testament prophets. But I think if you look at the definition and the revelation of God in Ephesians chapter 4 and what the prophetic is about, it is not about that. God can use those things, but it's not about that. It's not about the overarching issues of governance and governments and all of that. That can be useful to God's people at certain points, and he will warn us of things so we can prepare our families, etc. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, it's talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, what? To build up the body for unity, for maturity, and for the knowledge of God's Son. Yes. That's what it's about. Mm. That's what the prophetic is supposed to be about.
I had a significant conversation with Jennifer Gracie about the prophetic. She talked about the challenges of operating in the gift. And just like our previous guest, Pete Mahoney, Jennifer also made it clear that the ultimate goal of the prophetic is to reveal Jesus, for us to hear his voice, and that he becomes the center of all things.
One of the terrible blessings of, being able to see in the spirit realm of, the plans that God has for a people in a region and how he intends to let things unfold. But be kind of caught in the space between, the proverbial space between the altar and the temple porch or something in that, that halfway place where you're like, okay, I'm standing in this place because I've got God on my right side, but I've got the people on the left, and being that connector conduit of, you're basically the message center and the phone operator. Right. And being like, guys, the message is so obvious. Just do this. Please just do this. And I feel very, very strongly that the context of the prophetic moving forward will be more and more and more about bringing forth and birthing the revelation of Jesus as the king who is coming back to rule and reign with holy totalitarianism and absoluteness. And that is going to be very offensive. It is already, but it is going to be increasingly offensive to multitudes who want nothing to hear of it.
My next guest was Tony Kim. Tony and I talked about the apostolic and the prophetic and the relationship between the two. He emphasized that the restoration of the apostolic and the prophetic are key to seeing the coming of the kingdom of Jesus upon the earth. Tony, I'm going to ask you to go out on a limb here, a bit of a prophetic limb. If God is restoring, God the Holy Spirit, it's his work in his church. If he is restoring the apostolic and the prophetic now in our time, it's for a reason. What do you think that reason is, talking about the future?
That is, we're going to open up a can of worms here, aren't we, Mark? Yeah, I really believe that, this is what I say, convert's goal is to go to heaven. A disciple's goal is to bring heaven to earth. Mm-hmm. And we're not just converts. Of course, we want converts, but we're called to make disciples. And so living out the disciples' prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where Jesus says, when you pray like this: Our Father, holy is your name. And then he makes that declaration. This part is not a prayer. If you dissect the Greek, it's an emphatic declaration. It's come thy kingdom, be done thy will, exclamation point. And I believe with the restoration of apostles and prophets and seeing the ascension gifts come together to see the fruit of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 to 16 come to manifestation, and raising up mature sons of God, that we are establishing and we are bringing heaven to earth. Come, your kingdom be done, thy will. And so we want to see heaven on earth and not live a life of denial either, because we're seeing our culture grow darker. We're in gross times right now where people are calling evil good and good evil, Isaiah 5:20. But yet in Isaiah 60, it says, arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And I believe that the apostles and prophets being restored is going to help the church arise and shine in this hour to see his kingdom come. Hmm.
In talking with my next guest, John O'Turner, about the kingdom of God, John O. clearly emphasized the importance of Jesus, that he is the center, he is the king of the kingdom, and that he is the head of his church. As long as I can remember, I have known the Lord's Prayer. Didn't really consciously become a Christian until I was in my early 20s, but my mom was a believer in some fundamental, rudimentary way, and we said the Lord's Prayer. We used to say it every day in school back in the day.
Yeah, we did too.
But it didn't take me until after I was born again, filled with the Spirit, gone to seminary, graduated, called to a church, and in that 7-year period came out of it with this kingdom revelation, that all of a sudden I realized that the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And the big phrase for me, it smacked me right in the face, "on earth."
Yes.
"As it is in heaven." That seems to be a real key, don't you think, for having a perspective on everything that we do?
Absolutely. Totally. Well, it's about the king. So for me, wherever he is, that's the kingdom. The king is the king of the kingdom. So if he is king in my life, then my life is in the kingdom. It's not automatic, in my opinion. You're not just in the kingdom of God if because you believe in the philosophical position of Christianity. Because if Jesus is not Lord, if he is not the king in your life, then the parts of your life that are not under his lordship are not in the kingdom. Now, I'm splitting hairs here, of course, you know, but just from a practical point of view, a lot of people like to think that everything that they're doing is in the kingdom of God. But my view of the kingdom of God is where the king rules. And so, you know, we haven't got the kingdom of God on earth yet in its fullness. It's now, but not yet, because it won't be here in its fullness until he's sitting on the throne in Jerusalem and the whole world is acknowledging him as the king. But those that really acknowledge him as the king and surrender their agenda into his agenda, then everything about that is the kingdom. Mm. And I think, you know, God, we are asking God to bring the kingdom, but we have to be willing to surrender to the kingdom. And without the surrender to the kingdom, the rule of the kingdom doesn't manifest in a person's life. So they can be mouthing the words of the kingdom of God, but actually still be sitting on the throne of their life themselves. Mm-hmm.
As followers of Jesus, we are called to go. We are sent by Christ with his authority and power to go to the nations. And that means going into every sphere of culture. My next guest, Ian Richardson, underlined the importance of responding to the call to go. We are called to go in Jesus' name, taking the kingdom of God to every corner on the earth. So we hear a lot about the church. We hear a lot about the kingdom. How are they similar? How are they different in your understanding?
Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come on earth." He didn't teach us to pray, "Thy church be built on earth." The lowest common denominator of the kingdom of God is the individual. The kingdom is within us. And what's within us then flows out of us. The church should be a place to nurture and to grow and to send. Mm-hmm. You know, where the church has got to be there to equip. The ministry is there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Mm-hmm. And the ministry is not just within the church organization. It's out in the world.
So you're saying that the church was created for the kingdom,
rather than the kingdom created for the church?
When Jesus built his church, it wasn't an organization as we know it today. It was a bunch of people from all walks of life, most of whom we would never choose to be part of our organization because they were rebels. But Jesus chose them and he equipped them and then he sent them out. The day of Pentecost was about sending out, reaching out, equipping them to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and lo, I will be with you always. We like the lo, I will be with you, but if you want the lo, you've got to go. And if we're not going, we're actually limiting, holding back the kingdom. I look, Habakkuk 2:14, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth doesn't consist of the church. It's not about the church getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and so becoming an influence. It's about the kingdom of God infiltrating, permeating, being in the world around about us that consists of government, health, commerce, business, education, religion, recreation, family. I call them the seven realms of society. And if the kingdom of God is going to fill all the earth, then we as Christians need to have permeated the whole society.
Our last guest of 2023 was Peter Mueller. Peter, in talking about the kingdom of God, was passionate about the redemptive purposes of Christ in all spheres of culture. Here's Peter.
I think that we do have the opportunity to be redemptive in all areas of culture. And I know the seven mountains of culture is a phrase that has been used. And so there are people in education. There are people in politics and business and health, the arts and all these areas. I think Scripture talks about us being a witness, talks about us being caring for people and being involved in their lives. And Jesus had a great sense of compassion for people. And the whole idea of being a redemptive agent, I think, is central to what my belief is about all of us. And so I think we have an opportunity to show something that's different, outside the norm. But I think that's our calling to do that, whether it's whatever our occupation is.
Was there a time when you kind of came into what we might call a kingdom understanding?
Yes, there was. There was a time, and you were involved in that back in the mid-1990s with the Toronto Blessing. There was a bit of an awakening. There was a big awakening in a lot of people's lives, and getting that this was a Christian life that wasn't just following some program or some rules or some neat little marketing strategy to try to draw people to the Lord. It's a bigger thing than that. It's not just about the denomination, how they do it, or the organization and how they do it, or tradition. It's actually the Holy Spirit who's stirring things in each generation to meet the challenges of present-day culture and the things that are going on in the world and the things that are going on in people's lives. I was reading several places the other day about how the Lord has a destiny for us. He's created us before we were born, and he's placed things in us, and we need to walk in those things.
And this wraps up our last episode of Kingdom Talk for 2023. Thanks for listening. You can find all the notes and links for today's show at our website, www.kingdomadvanceministries.com/podcast. And once again, if you enjoyed our show, be sure to subscribe so that you won't miss any of our upcoming episodes. Bye for now, and may God bless.